Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with soon-to-be 96-year-old Albert Marcus, recorded in Clovis, California at Aerial Photo Mapping Services. Thanks to Mr. Marcus's son-in-law, Dan Dietrich, for facilitating that. Mr. Marcus was just 17 when he joined the Navy in 1942, 18 when he became a plank owner, part of the original crew of the attack transport USS Pierce, APA 50.
There was a shipmate of yours that ended up writing a book about the war and what he experienced. They actually made that into a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Away All Boats?
Name is Dodson. I got the book at home.
Yeah?
He wrote the book. He was a navigator aboard ship. He was a very good man. He was really good.
So if he was the navigator, he was sitting right by you when you were doing radar?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he was actually running the ship. He knew more about the Navy and about ships than the captain did. The captain was really going by him a lot, but... Uh-huh. Yeah, he was really a good man. And I met him afterwards, too, when we went to the reunion, him and his wife.
So when you read that book and then you watched the movie, which a little piece of trivia about that movie is that it was Clint Eastwood's first speaking role either. He had like one line or something as a corpsman.
I got the book, too, and I bought it.
Did that bring anything to mind? Did it seem like what you had experienced?
They called the ship Belinda, and that's not the name of the ship.
Right.
He made it that name. I guess for some reason he couldn't say the USS Pierce. He was really running that ship. The captain was over him, but he ran it. He'd been a captain of a ship before in the Merchant Marine, so he had more experience than the captain of our ship did. So he was running things.
So is that something where when you hear that movie's coming out, you got to go watch that in the theater?
Oh, yeah, I seen that movie a long time ago.
If you'd like to watch that film, I have it linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. It's not a direct telling of the Pierce's actions as much as an amalgamation of what that ship and others of its kind endured during World War II. And just in case you're wondering, here is that famous first line ever on the silver screen from one of the most prolific actors and directors of all time.
Dr. Bell's waiting for him in surgery, sir.
Yep, that's Clint Eastwood as a corpsman aboard an APA in the 1956 film Away All Boats. Back to Albert Marcus's story. He told us about the first landing the USS Pierce participated in at Macon Island in November 1943.
And there's something I read about Macon Island when you guys arrived. I believe there was a ship fairly close to you that was hit by a torpedo and had a big explosion.
I believe it was an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the Liscombe Bay.
Yeah, you knew about that. Yeah, it was a Liscombe Bay.
Did you see any of that?
No, it was a little bit distance. Mm-hmm. All we know is it was hit. And it was one of our carriers, Japanese submarine, hit it. And that's where we got the Japanese prisoner of war. Only one is all we got aboard ship. He was one of the soldiers on the island when we dropped troops off there and captured the place where he was taken prisoner.
When you're there, this is your first taste of the war.
Yeah.
And you hear a carrier, one of the biggest and most important ships in theory, has been torpedoed and had this massive explosion.
Yeah.
Does that make you think at all that you might be in danger?
I never even thought of it.
Not yet.
We could see it from a distance, you know. Maybe it's 5 miles. I don't know how far away, but it was there.
And Macon Island was the first of 6 battle stars that your ship would get in World War II.
Yeah, went to Macon Island first.
And then a couple months later, you're at Kwajalein.
That's right. I do know all that. Yeah, we just did
my homework, that's all.
Yeah, we were at Kwajalein Island. We had no problem. Our troops landed there, took it over.
So now you've been in a couple of these landings. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of the casualties coming back aboard your ship?
No, we didn't have any casualties come aboard ship. Not yet.
But Saipan, this is a big invasion.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I remember our ship, they opened up, they fired our guns way over on the island there. I don't know why the captain, I think he wanted to do that there. But he fired way up the mountains there on the island. And then Guam's right next to Saipan in Tinian. They land troops in Saipan. And then eventually we had our bombers from Saipan to Tinian bomb Japan. That's where they took off to drop the atomic bomb from there.
From Tinian, yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned your captain wanting to fire the guns.
Yeah.
So is this the first time you've really experienced what it's like on that ship when those guns go off?
Yeah, it was. He fired from a long distance. 5-inch guns is all it was. It wasn't a really big gun.
Those guns are firing, but the boats from your ship are taking Marines into shore. Those are the Marines who would take over that island. And then I know there were casualties in that situation where they're being brought back aboard ship.
Yeah, there were.
And did you see any of that? Did you see any of these guys and what kind of shape they were in?
I seen a boat come with some of them in stretchers. And one of the boats, LCVP's pulling another one because the other engine was, and the guy was on this stretcher laying in there. And when he jerked forward this one pulling, it made the front end of the other one go down, and it sank him. The guy that was in the stretch, he went down with him. He was dead. He had no chance.
Wow.
Yeah, I really feel about that.
So you're watching from the deck of your ship, and that's what you see.
I seen, yeah.
Wow.
The two of them. The one that went down, pulled the other one down. Some of them swam, but the guy that was on the stretcher, he never made it. He went down. He's killed.
So one of those LCVPs had lost its engine. The other one's towing it.
That's right. That's exactly.
And when that happened, that whole second boat, they were all dumped into the water.
Yep.
And this guy can't do anything. He's on a stretcher. He's just sinking.
That's right. He died.
Wow.
But the other guy swam, and they made it okay. Come aboard ship. And I was watching that, you know, because there's a lot of radar operators, so we didn't always have to work. So I was on the side watching what's going on. We weren't a fighting ship. We were just one that had troops. But the fighting ships are the ones that really did the fighting, like the carriers and destroyers and battleships. See? Or we were like a transport, dropping off troops, that's all, mainly.
And then, in this case, bringing them back. So
yeah.
You have to keep them alive aboard your ship until they can get them to a hospital ship or a hospital somewhere else.
We did do that. We had some doctors aboard ship, and they had a hospital area, and they took care of these troops that were hurt. I remember that.
Was there a point in here at all where you guys realized that your ship could be targeted by enemy aircraft?
Yeah, I remember that happened to us one time. I said, our planes were chasing him to try to shoot him down. And this guy was hurt, this Japanese plane. So he come back, and he's trying to make his plane hit ours, crash onto it. And he was going to do that. I could see his face. His flames are all over his cockpit. I could see him there. And I don't know how high he was, but the guys opened up on our ship on him, and he went to the next ship, hit the side, and he was dead. But if he didn't, I'm sure I wouldn't even be here today. If he'd even landed and hit us, I wouldn't even make it at all. I'd been dead. In fact, all of us would be right there.
Where were you at the time? Where were you watching that from?
I was right on deck. Too many guys in the radar shack. So some of us were outside. We weren't on duty watching. And that's when I was watching, and that's when it happened.
What goes through your mind in a moment like that?
I didn't even give it a thought. I really wasn't scared. It's just that all I know is this guy, I could see him. Japanese plane, he was up there. I'm trying to think, I don't know. I could see his face. Flames are all around him, and he tried to make his plane hit us. But when we opened up with the guns, he went to the next ship, hit the side, and he was dead.
So you see a kamikaze that's trying to hit your ship, and because of the guys on your crew firing the guns, it alters his trajectory, hits another ship.
That's right. One opened up with 40-millimeter gun, and he right away, he went to the next ship, hit the side, and he was dead.
And you still weren't questioning whether you were going to make it home?
I never even gave it a thought. I'm thankful that he opened up with that gun. I wouldn't even be here today if he successfully hit us. He'd have killed us all right there. He'd have killed a whole bunch of us.
And there's plenty of examples of that happening. So you've taken us to Macon Island, to Kwajalein, and to Saipan. And then not long after that, you guys were landing troops at Angar. Some 81st Infantry Division troops, did I read that right?
Yeah.
And that's one we don't hear about a lot. It was kind of simultaneous to Peleliu.
Yeah, Angar. It was guys go ashore that drink beer. I never drank. That's what somebody said.
Yeah. What would you do when you had liberty?
I never drank. I never smoked, so I never didn't. A lot of these guys had to have a beer or something, drink something, but I never did do that.
October 1944, you guys were part of the landings at Leyte.
Yeah, so how do you know all that?
I just read about your ship, that's all.
Oh, okay, yeah, but we went to Leyte. That was the first island we hit in the field, was Leyte. The first day we got there, it was nothing to it. We went ashore the next day on Liberty. Could you imagine that, walking around? And the next day after that, MacArthur, he went ashore.
Yeah.
He went ashore. When we hit Leyte, the Japanese had no chance. In fact, I haven't seen any Japanese troops.
So if people go there today to that beach, they'll actually see a statue that's submerged in the water of MacArthur.
That's right.
When he said, "I shall return," this was his return.
Yeah.
But you're saying you came ashore at Leyte before MacArthur did?
Yeah, we went ashore the day before everybody did.
Uh-huh.
It was safe. And he went ashore the next day. I remember that.
Did you make sure to wade in knee-deep like he did?
No, we went by boat. That was just part of the deal they did.
Well, that's why I ask. I'm just wondering, when you see that archival film of that famous moment when he's wading ashore at Leyte, what do you think of when you see that?
Well, it was pretty easy for him. He liked that, I think, for the idea, maybe make it look good in his case. But
added a little dramatism to it?
Yeah. Like I said, we went ashore. I saw some mice. We used to get bed sheets and stuff from the Navy. I'd sell some of the stuff. He'd even sell cigarettes. They wanted to buy it real bad to the natives, you know. When we were in the Philippines, I remember I seen this Japanese ship was sunk. It was pirates sticking out of the water yet. Then we went to other islands, too. I remember we were in Lingayen Gulf. There was an Australian destroyer got hit. About 7 guys got killed because they were there, too, with us, you know. Really, it was by that time, the war was just about over.
So here's one. You mentioned Lingayen Gulf, and this is one that I was reading about. It said January 9th, 1945. So you guys are unloading troops. And so your boats are alongside the ship. And there was a Japanese bomber that dropped its bomb, missed the ship, but hit one of those boats next to your ship.
That actually happened.
So you saw that or heard about that?
Well, I remember it happened, yeah. He dropped the bomb too soon. If he'd have waited another second, I might not even be here. That was another incident where he dropped it. He hit one of our LCVPs, and a couple of guys got killed, if I remember there. And the one guy, the engine protected him, and then that was it. But he dropped that bomb too soon. If he'd have waited, then he'd really hit the ship instead of the LCVP. I might not even be here today.
And did you realize that at the time, or are you still Mr. Invincible Teenager
out
there?
No, I didn't give a thought.
You still weren't worried about that?
I was in the hole helping unload some of the shells.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we also had some Army shells for their guns. I was helping unloading them when that happened. I didn't actually, that's what happened, but that's where I was in one of the holes.
So you guys had a store of these shells aboard ship, and you would have to unload them so they could put them on the boats to take them to shore?
Yeah, for the army guns.
And you hear the explosion?
No, all I know is he dropped a bomb and hit this one of our LCVPs.
Yeah.
I think they had about 3 crewmen on there, and it killed some of them. Just the one, I think, made it. And like I said, he dropped the bomb too soon. If he'd have waited, he'd hit the ship. I might not even be here today.
Well, that's at least 2 of those situations that we've heard about. And I'm curious, so now this is the first time, I think, this whole time we've been talking here, your ship has made all these landings, fired guns, shot down enemy aircraft. I don't think, at least from what you've shared so far, there hadn't been a situation where you guys would have to have a burial at sea.
We did have some burial at sea. They buried maybe about 3 guys at sea. When these guys were killed, they'd put them in the fantail of the ship, dead bodies there. I remember going back and seeing some. I remember they buried some. They'd put them on a stretcher, tie them down with weights, and then they'd drop them off and they'd bury them at sea.
Is that hard to watch as a teenager?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't even think anything. But I did see a guy commit suicide. He jumped in the ocean and died.
Wow.
Commit suicide that way. We looked for him. The ship looked, they could never find him. He died.
So let's see. I think we've gotten you to the Philippines, but there was one real big battle left in the Pacific. There were a few that you didn't have to take part in, like Iwo Jima, but you guys were at Okinawa on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we were at Okinawa. They landed troops there, but that's about it. I don't remember much more. It was actually pretty easy.
Most of the landings on that first day, Easter Sunday 1945, were pretty mundane, but the fighting got worse after that.
Yeah, we're lucky we didn't have to attack Japan dropping troops. They dropped atomic bomb. That was the best thing ever happened. Maybe it's not a thing to do, but it saved a lot of our men, because we'd have hit Japan by hitting the beach with troops. A lot of them would have been killed.
It's time for another break, but there's more to come with World War II Navy veteran Albert Marcus. We'll also hear from his daughter, who accompanied him on his honor flight to Washington, D.C. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.
Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.